Jonathan Started a Kingdom, Chapter 3, The Long-Lost Friend. Jonathan headed towards home. As he walked, he passed thousands upon thousands of men and women from every generation. Some walked two by two, while others gathered in groups of 5 or 10, 50, and even hundreds. Some were working, some were playing, but all were enjoying the beauty of the kingdom, the great inheritance they had received. All the way home, Jonathan wondered who this special guest might be. After walking many, many miles, he turned the corner and his house came within view. There, sitting on the steps of his house, was a man dressed in a white robe. Jonathan could not make out the man's features from afar, but as he came closer, he noticed that there was something familiar about him. The man turned and noticed Jonathan walking towards him. He stood up and walked towards Jonathan. As a gap between them closed, each could tell the other's expression that they were trying to figure out who the other was. Finally, recognition began to dawn on both of them simultaneously. "Jonathan," the man said with an excited voice. "Chuck, is that you? Is it really you?" Jonathan responded in disbelief. Finally, confirmation set in, and both their hearts seemed to dance with joy. As they reached each other, Jonathan's memory shot back to the old world, where they had been great friends, but circumstances had separated them. Flashes from their time together began to spring from deep within him. Seeds of fishing on the Connecticut River, camping in Burlington, Vermont, Bible studies and family gatherings filled his mind. Jonathan felt a lump forming in his throat, and his eyes were becoming moist with tears of joy. Just seeing Chuck brought great excitement to his heart, and each could tell that the other felt the same way. "The Lord said I had a very special visitor that would make my heart leap, and he was right. Just knowing that you are here, that our friendship is just beginning again, brings great joy to my heart," Jonathan said. "I was very excited when the Lord said that he had someone special for me to meet. I was wondering who it might be. As I was walking here, I thought maybe the house would give some hint of who lived there. No hint was given. I only began to recognize you when we were face to face. When I finally knew it was you, my heart rejoiced. Jonathan, you were a very, very dear friend to me, and I always treasured the memories we had together." Jonathan nodded his head in agreement and said, "We had many great times together in that old world. We used to talk about growing old together and enjoying each other's company. Those were our plans, but the Lord had better plans. I remember when we started to drift apart. I moved to another town and a different church, while you moved to another state. You settled in Pennsylvania, and I stayed in Massachusetts. The gap of a few hundred miles between us seemed like a world apart." Chuck shook his head and said quietly, "That old world separated me from many of the people I loved. I'm sure many of our brothers and sisters felt a similar pain in their separation from their loved ones. Separation can be heart-wrenching. People move away, as in our case, but the worst separation was the deaths of the ones we loved. That was a very, very sad world we once lived in, with much pain to bear and sorrow to drink." Jonathan replied, "I have also seen something interesting in these times of separation. Our Lord always comforts us in our sorrows, oftentimes by bringing other people into our lives. When he takes away, he often gives back. And as he closes one door, he opens another. Many people came in and out of my life, and I developed a love for many of them. I see now that God has used these times to spread his love throughout the church and into the fallen world. We were like seeds that were scattered, but much grain could be produced. Wherever the church was scattered, Christ's love spread out to the multitudes." Chuck agreed wholeheartedly and said, "You are right. God had something much better in mind than what we could have ever planned. He took our little idea of growing old together and made it into a grand plan. We don't just have each other. We have a great multitude of loved ones that followed us right into the kingdom. We're not limited to a few years, but instead we can enjoy each other's company for eternity. Here, distance does not matter. My home is in the northernmost part of the kingdom, 1,200 miles away from here, by man's old measurements. The distance between us now is like a walk in a park. Jonathan laughed and said, "You know, I have always been a talker. I could go on and on, and did not even think of inviting you in. Come on in and see what the Lord has done for me. We could sit down and continue our conversation inside." As Jonathan and Chuck walked up the stairs, stepped across the threshold, opened the door, and stepped into an eternal home. As Chuck stepped in, he noticed that the first room was rectangular in shape and large enough to hold 40 or 50 people comfortably. He looked to his left and saw 6 large arched windows overlooking the large cobblestone path that followed along the River of Life. His eyes caught the light as it reflected off the river. It seemed to dance as it went through the windows and colored the living room with shards of moving light. A warm, gentle breeze blew past him and carried with it a sweet smell of flowers. Lilacs, he thought. He continued to watch as the wind blew across the river, over the bushes, through the trees, and into the room. The smell of the flowers and the warm air continued to flow gently past him. Chuck then took a deep breath, slowly and effortlessly. He breathed out a long sigh of contentment. To the right was a large table with 12 chairs placed neatly around it. The table had 2 large woven baskets filled with various colored fruit, vegetables and flowers that seemed to overflow onto the table. The left side of the room had 2 large tan arched couches facing each other, with a huge oval glass table in the middle. On each end of the sitting area were 2 large cushioned chairs, with plenty of space for people to maneuver through. The walls of the room had a light blue tint. The floor was made out of some heavenly exotic wood, and the grain swirled its way throughout the room. In one section, large colored stones were inlaid into the wood, making a rectangular pattern marking off the sitting area. "Wow, the Lord knows how to build a home. What a beautiful place he has given you. It suits you, and I imagine it fits all your spiritual gifts that you have and your service to the King." Jonathan said, "He certainly made all our homes fit who we are, in the ministries we serve in. As you can see, my ministry is fellowship. I have so many opportunities to serve our Lord by serving the heirs of his kingdom who come in." "Who else lives here?" Chuck added. "My earthly wife, family, and all those I love and cherish in Christ are here or very close by. I am so glad that what God has joined together, he has not separated. As you know, we're not married or given in marriage, but the Lord did not separate us from the ones we loved. He did something far better beyond what our earthly minds would have or could have ever imagined or understood." Chuck smiled in agreement and replied, "I have been welcomed into so many homes from every generation and culture. It is amazing how he has joined the entire heavenly kingdom together. We're all like different pieces of a wall, interlocking together, built on a great foundation that has been raised up to become the heavenly kingdom. I notice how all our homes reflect our individual ministries and even reflect who we are. It is awesome how our individual personalities, our gifts and talents, were carried into eternity, yet into the new heavenly homes." "I'm so glad I left the sin behind," Jonathan added, shaking his head. Jonathan turned and looked straight at Chuck. "Grinning," he said, "guess what? I have a surprise for you. I was walking with the Lord a little while ago, and he blessed me by pouring out his word into my heart. He asked me to share them with you." "What did he say?" "He talked about many things, but he asked me to tell you how he was involved in my earthly life behind the scenes. He told me to share this with you. Grab a seat and I will begin." They both walked into the living room and sat down. Chuck stretched out and waited for Jonathan to start the conversation. "The Lord said he wanted to show me how much he was involved in my life, even from birth. He wanted me to understand how wide, long, high, and deep his love is for me and for all his people." Chuck added, "The Lord has already shared so many things with me personally. He also used many saints and angels to share his blessings and minister his grace to me in its various forms. I have truly been blessed beyond measure. Jonathan began, "The Lord told me that he made the first man, Adam. He then said he made all mankind and every nation so that man would fill the world. He then determined the times, dates, and years set for them, and even the exact places where they should live. He said he did this so that men would seek him, perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he mentioned he was never far from each one of us. He looked directly into my eyes, put his right hand upon my shoulder, and said, 'Jonathan, I have chosen you before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in my sight. In my great love, I have chosen you and adopted you to be my beloved son. I did this for my good pleasure and will. I and I alone did all this. I knitted you together in your mother's womb, and I created your innermost being. I loved you with an everlasting love, and I have always drawn you with my cords of loving kindness. For you are mine from the very beginning. Now I'm yours for all of eternity.'" Chuck, to hear those words come from his mouth, it made my heart faint within me, and my soul seemed to burst with emotions. "Oh, I wish I was there," he said. He said similar things to me, and I'm sure he has said the same to all of his beloved. You know what I hate? Those same wonderful words were made known to me in the old world, yet they did not affect me like they do here. I heard the same words written in his book, and oftentimes they fell on deaf ears. I knew and believed these truths, but my heart seemed grounded. I could not fly. It was as if my wings were clipped, so I could not soar on the heights. Jonathan got up and said, "Let's go sit by the river, and I will finish telling you everything he said." They both got up, but as the door was closing, Jonathan said, "Do you think I should lock it?" They laughed together as they headed down the stairs, across the street, and into the park that followed the river. They followed a cobblestone path that gradually weaved its way up a small hill. Upon reaching the summit, they found a spot overlooking the river of life. They both sat down on the grass, which was soft to the touch, and had a smell of being freshly cut. They sat, enjoying the sound of the river and admiring the trees that scattered the landscape. In a far distance, a huge mountain range could be seen. It was known as Emmanuel's Range. As they looked across the river, they could see the outline of fruit trees, with its branches bending to the ground because of the vast amounts of fruit growing on them. They had a bird's-eye view of the park and the city that stretched out in every direction, as far as the eye could see. They looked out and watched hundreds of saints, angels, and cherubim, enjoying each other's company. Some walked together on the cobblestone paths below, others gathered under trees in the park, and some were walking down the streets of gold. They sat for a while watching the river flow into the distance towards Emmanuel's mountains. They were enjoying the beauty they received, their inheritance that was kept in heaven for them, the inheritance that could never perish, spoil, or fade. Jonathan was about to continue with his story when he heard footsteps behind him. As they turned, they saw their Heavenly Father approaching them in the cool of the day.